Such programming will be planned in consultation with local stations.
Okay, so that the amendment is to say that national programming shall be planned in consultation with local stations. Is there
I accept that as a friendly amendment. That doesn't do violence to, as far as I'm concerned, to the policy.
Right.
Okay, further debate on this proposed amendment, if any? Okay, hearing no debate, is there any objection to adopting that amendment? Hearing none,
this is Teresa. I don't have an objection, but could Bob send that to me the way he wants it to read?
Bob?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no further debate on that, then and no objection, we adopt that amendment. It's open for further discussion.
Mary Berg, a point of information, I guess.
Go ahead.
I put those two. Is there a way? I have a real problem with the paragraph at the end of the whole thing. I cannot go along with that.
Can I bring that up at all?
No, my question is there any way that I can make a motion to take that out at least until October 30th?
I'm not clear of the question.
Hang on.
From a parliamentary point of view, you can raise anything that's not substantively identical to what you've already raised.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, then I want to be on the stack.
Okay.
So I can
any
do that. Thank you.
Question on that?
This is Sarv.
Go ahead, Sarv.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak in support of this programming policy. It has undergone over a year, maybe more, to come to this point. Comprehensive and collaborative decision-making. And I thank Rob for putting endless hours and the programming committee as well. And I don't see this policy as something that passes concrete. I think it's a organic document, and I think as we put into practice this broad policy, some areas will require, they will work, others won't, and we might have to adjust it accordingly, make adjustments. But overall, I think it's a good start, and I'm going to support this policy.
Dave, can I get on the stack, please?
Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Sarv. Was that Evelyn? Evelyn, was that you who were saying, can I get on the staff?
Yes.
Okay, please go ahead.
Well, I also speak in support of this. I think it is a step in the right direction. Having been chair of a program committee on a local level, I know that this took a lot of work. And we have to trust the people that we gave the charge to, who worked through it and collaborated to come up with a very good piece of work. So I will definitely support it.
Thank you very much. Any further debate or expressions of gratitude and kudos?
Can we call a question?
I was on the stack, please.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to ask for any other comments, and then we'll ask for Mary. Well, actually, the question's been called. It's not up to me.
Point of information, does that mean I cannot make this vote?
What happens once the question's been called is we take a vote, and if the body votes to close debate, then yes, you can't make the amendment. Is there any objection to closing debate?
Yes.
Okay. Will you call the roll on... is there a second to the call of a question?
Yes.
Okay, it's been seconded. I'm sorry, I'm tired, folks. Can you remind me, is the call of the question debatable?
No.
No.
I don't think it is.
No.
Okay.
No.
So will you call the roll, Teresa?
Who called the question?
Rob.
Rip Robbins.
Oh, it was Rip. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm confused. Are we voting on Mary's objection?
Close debate.
No, we're voting on whether to close debate.
Oh, okay.
There's no amendment before us at the moment.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Mary Berg?
No.
Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Lydia Brazon?
No.
A.C. Bird?
Yes.
Lisa Davis?
No.
Patty Heffley?
Pass.
Bill Jackson? Bill, are you here? Not hearing you. Ray LaForest?
No.
Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Bob Lederer?
No.
Alan Minsky?
Yes.
Rosalind de Montes Palacios?
No.
Sarve?
Nope.
Rip?
Yes.
Rob?
Yes.
Deb?
Yes.
Zarina is not here. Don is not here. Lavarne?
Yes.
Nathan Moore?
Yes.
Teresa says yes. And we go to Patty Heffley. Patty? I can't hear you, Patty.
Yes, yes.
She says yes. All right, let me count. One, two. Oh, and I did not hear Phil Jackson. So, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. 11 to
okay.
7, Mr. Chair.
It requires two-thirds, so that's not two-thirds, so it's still open for further debate. I'll recognize anyone who hasn't spoken yet, and then Mary. Okay, go ahead, Mary.
Okay, I move that the very last paragraph of the document, which is under the heading of the role of programming coordinator, but does not refer to that, the paragraph, very last one, these proposals...
Hold on a sec.
Let's all stop, take a breath, and enjoy the feedback.
Mary, what section
it's
is that
the
in?
Very, very end of the whole thing.
What?
The bottom of 12.0.
Thank
page
you.
Page 7 on the text that I have.
Okay.
And by the way, we just had a living example of how wonderful getting feedback is.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Isn't it wonderful? At least it was a little musical. Okay. I would like to take out that paragraph. Let me see. I would like to take out the paragraph that says that new programming proposals shall be brought to the PNB Programming Committee for review. I would like
okay,
to defer that until October 30th. Then I can support the whole thing.
Was that was not part of your prior motion?
It was.
Well, it was part of it. That's why I asked you, but it's not the same thing, because I had the national programming policy, and my previous motion wanted to have the text of that sent to us, but I'm bailing on that.
No, I'm going to rule it out of order. If it was part of a motion that, if I recall, didn't even receive a second. Well, okay, I'll leave it up to the body. I'll leave it up to the body.
Yeah, that's
is
what I asked
second?
You.
Okay, is
this
there
is,
a second?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Okay, I'll second so that we can discuss it, because I would also like to ask Rob's opinion. Is there someplace we can move it to? And Mary, is this just because it's inappropriately put in the section that does not refer, that only refers to the programming coordinator, or do you object to the fact that programming will be referred to the programming committee?
To the programming committee. I
okay.
Both of those
okay,
things.
Okay, wait. So
oh.
It's been seconded. You have that down, Teresa, and now, Mary, you want to go ahead and motivate it?
Yes, okay, thank you. The problem I have with that, the programming committee is not necessarily even informed about the programming. They can be people who have no they have no experience ever doing anything like this, and that this has to happen for every new proposal, that it go to a body which may have only met once. It could happen, the proposals in the beginning of the year, and these people have never sat on a board like this, and still they have to approve it. I don't think That doesn't seem to me to be a way of having good radio and to guarantee the quality of radio that we want, and also the adherence to the mission and all the other things that we want. So I think it needs some other, I think we need to talk about that further, and I wouldn't like to delay the whole thing on that account, so I'm trying to get it that we have some discussion on that, that we could, between now and October 30th, and possibly some revision of it. It's an addition. It certainly doesn't belong in Section 12.0. It ought to be its own section or whatever. So,
Mr. Chair,
for
Rob,
these reasons,
Rob,
I'd like to
okay.
postpone it for the next until our next meeting 10 days from now, and then go ahead and approve the rest of it.
Okay, hang on a sec. Rob, can you clarify, is the statement Mary made true? She said that it calls for the committee to have to approve programming. Is that accurate?
What it basically says is that the coordinator's responsibility is to work on a collaborative process when segments are being produced locally for network programs and where network-wide regular programming or long-term series are being produced. In the event that a new national program or a series is being produced, the paragraph suggests that these proposals, including a budget, shall go to the PNB Programming Committee to assure that both network and local needs are met. In other words, this is basically trying to underscore what Bob was saying, that the programming committee, which includes members of the LSBs from all of the local stations, will look at the proposals that have been developed in conjunction with the network programming coordinator, and that they will look at any budget numbers that may be involved. And if there are budget issues, it suggests that they be forwarded to the Finance Committee. So this is really an attempt to basically
Rob, it was just a simple question. I didn't hear any language in there that requires approval. What the language asks for is that it be sent there. Is the intent that there be approval, or is the intent simply that it be forwarded to the committee?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry.
May I withdraw my second?
Yes, you can.
I withdraw my second.
Okay. Is there a different second? Would somebody else like to second this? Hearing none, then we do not need to proceed with it. Okay. Now, is there any further debate on the item?
Mr. Chair, do I just say second was withdrawn on that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any further debate on the thing? If not, we can have an early evening and get to our other business.
Let's vote.
Okay, hearing no further debate, is there any objection to adopting the programming policy with the amendments that were previously made?
Nope.
I do. I'd like to go on record that I don't agree. I don't want to have to take a formal vote on it since I appear to be the only person, but I still have the problems I did have. So,
okay.
Whether I should abstain or whatever I need to have the record.
No, we can do as we've done before, which was we can specifically note that there was one objection.
Okay.
Any other objections to the passage of the policy?
Okay. Mr.
Yes.
Chair,
mm-hmm.
Is this phrased programming policy is amended? We don't have to say anything about what we previously are rescinding?
This substitutes for the previously adopted sections of the program policy.
Okay, I still haven't gotten your wording of the substitution, but then I think I'll have what I need. Thank you.
I emailed it to the PNB.
Thank you. Point of information,
Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
What we just passed includes the note about Section 3.0.
Secretary.
What?
Does it?
What was that?
I'm sorry, just bear with me 1 minute.
Is that the FCC note?
No, I'm just hoping that's
the distribution and licensing
coming along next.
Mr. Chair, would it be helpful if I sent to the Secretary the changes that have been made and excised the italicized remarks that do not, in fact, belong in the policy? Would that be helpful for the Secretary?
Yes.
Yes, that would be useful, but I'm not sure of what of Rip's question.
There's an explanatory note at the beginning, a prefatory note at the beginning of the policy document, which we should not adopt because it's not part of the policy.
Right, okay. Well, that's fine. That was just my question, right, whether that's... Okay.
It's just a narrative note. And I'll
sure.
update the document, Madam Secretary, and take that part out and add the sections that Bob has added and that we removed from Section 10. And give that to you so that you have a clean copy.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say, at this point, I'm going to say program policy as amended without the narrative note in section what?
The narrative prefatory note.
Thank you.
Okay, and you've noted that it passes with one objection from Ember.
Yes.
Okay. So the next thing on the agenda is the Governance Committee resolution. I understand that the chair of the Governance Committee, Julie Rodriguez, has actually stepped down as a result of accepting a political appointment. So I understand also Bob Letters, the vice chair. So, Bob, can you present the motion of the Governance Committee?
No, actually, I'm not the vice chair. Rosalinda is the vice chair,
but I could present it. Rosalinda, can you then present the motion?
Bob would have to because I didn't get on the meeting last night.
Okay, Bob, can you go ahead and...
Sure. Okay. The motion reads as follows. The Governance Committee recommends that the PNB adopt a motion clarifying its October 2004 motion regarding committee member absences such that the provision on notification of the chairs of the PNB and relevant LSB regarding, quote, any pending suspension, unquote, be invoked after two consecutive absences of the committee member in question, and also that the member, him or herself, be notified at the same time. That's the motion.
So this is a motion to amend something previously adopted, and it was noticed, so it only requires a simple majority, and the resolution would actually read to amend it to the October 2004 motion to add that notification of the chairs of the PNB and relevant LSB be invoked, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Okay, so first let me read the original motion from October 2004 that this would be amending. Actually, we were seeing it as more interpreting than amending, but either way is fine. And that read, the provisions in the Pacifica bylaws, Article 5, Section 7, and Article 7, Section 9, whereby a member ceases to be a member after missing three consecutive meetings, be applied to committees of the PNB, such that any committee member who misses three consecutive committee meetings shall no longer be a member of the committee, and that the chair of the committee shall notify the chair of the PNB and the respective LSB of any pending suspension from the committee. So that's what they adopted 2 years ago, and the problem that's come up is when this is, situation has developed, sometimes the member in question who has missed two meetings and is on the verge of being removed from the committee doesn't realize for any number of reasons what's happening, and so it's a fait accompli before they can even kind of respond to it or decide to rectify the situation, et cetera. So it's a simple, this motion is really quite simple. It's just to make sure that both the LSB is apprised of the situation before it's too late, and that the member themselves is. And one case that's come up is that there have been people who have had extended periods where their email was non-functional, and so they didn't know about the notices of committees, and then they found out after the fact that they had been removed from the committee. So I guess I would actually move to amend this to add the phrase at the end where it says, and also that the member, him or herself, be notified at the same time, to add the phrase by email and telephone to make sure that people with email problems are given a chance to be aware that they are on the verge of being removed. So
Are you making a motion, an amendment to your own motion?
Well, this is a committee motion, so I'm making my own individual amendment to the committee's motion.
And if that's not appropriate, I'm happy to.
Mm-hmm. I would do it.
It's appropriate. It was just that you should have just motivated the motion. But so I guess what we'll say is that there's been a proposed amendment. And is there a second to that amendment?
I second.
Okay.
Point of information, so he's just adding the words by phone and email at the end of the last sentence?
Mm-hmm. Notified by email and phone.
Notified at the same time by phone and email.
Well, notified by email and phone at the same time.
All right, thank you.
Any discussion on the amendment?
May I get on the chat?
Go ahead.
Okay, good. I think that this amendment is very important, and I can use myself as a reference in terms of what happened with me in the audit committee. I mean, I think people have to understand sometimes that people have different schedules. A lot of times when I'm working long hours, I'm not on my email. I can't check it during the day. I get home very late. We had a situation where there was something that was going on at WBAI, and I had to be on, like, two calls, in fact. And I noticed that there was a notice that was sent that I noticed this after the fact when I was checking to find out why I was not aware that they were having an audit committee meeting. And I was just put off without any discussion, without any checking, without finding out why, without any concern. I just thought that was a little, to me, it felt kind of cold. And I just think it just ensures a little bit of fairness, because you have to remember, as Bob pointed out, that there are times when people, for whatever reason, their emails go down, or where, I mean, sometimes things can get by you. And I have found out even that I wasn't getting notifications from the audit committee. I had sent something to the chair, Bertal Reimers. I don't have it exactly in front of me, but saying I think there could be a problem. I don't appear to be on the audit committee list. I haven't been on it for whatever reason. I wasn't getting them. So, but I didn't hear anything back in response to that, and the next thing I know, I'm just put off, and I wasn't even aware that we were having a meeting. So I just think that they definitely have to take those things into consideration, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to just make sure everything's okay sometimes with somebody. There could be a whole lot of reasons why they're not able to be on call sometimes. So that's what I
don't know. Thank you. Any further discussion on the amendment?
Yes, I would like to discuss this. So there, I'm not seeing anything about a person that, for some reason or another, asked for an excuse.
Is this relevant to the amendment that we're dealing with right now, or the main motion?
Pardon me, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's deal. Anything else on the amendment? Any objections to the amendment? Yes?
I just have a quick question only. Is voicemail and answering machine sufficient, or is that part of the... Not to be flippant, but...
I'm sorry, I can't hear that.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Is leaving a message on the voicemail, does that satisfy the requirement?
Can I answer?
Yeah, please.
Notification.
Yeah, that would satisfy my intent in this amendment.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Point of information.
Yes.
I just want a little bit of clarity, and please excuse me a moment. I mean, I'm up so early in the morning and getting in so late. But is it the rule that if a person misses three committee meetings, that they're off? I mean, even if a person says I can't make a committee meeting, does excused absences count, or?
No.
Bob, can you answer that?
The policy adopted in 2004 does not make any reference to excused absences. So it's a flat policy that if you miss three consecutive committee meetings, you're off, period. That's certainly something the board could revisit. There was not sentiment on the committee to revisit that, but the board could choose to.
Well, then I want to say I support the amendment that Barbara, but I definitely think there needs to be reconsideration on that, and we'll probably at some point move that be reconsidered, because I think that's important. But anyway, just want to be clear about that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment?
The amendment, Mary Berg, I'd like to, you're speaking of the amendment, meaning the amendment to the 2004...
No, we're trying to deal with letterer's amendment to
the
governance
amendment.
Committee resolution.
Just
and as
adding.
Soon as we get we get that done, then we can go to further discussion.
So you're only talking about the amendment to add the phrase by email and telephone.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Well, then I want to...
Okay, is there any further discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, that the motion's amended accordingly. Now, we're back to the main motion.
Okay.
You just said, I heard Mary, and who else?
Teresa.
Lonnie. Teresa. Lonnie.
I have to leave the call. Mr. Chair, I wanted to let you know.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Lonnie. Anybody else? Okay, Mary?
Yeah, I, too, am concerned about whether there's explained absences or not, whether people have said that something came up. Is there a way that we can add that? I would like, if so, I'd like to make a motion to add the phrase unexplained absences.
Unexcused.
Unexcused if we have to. Yeah, okay.
Well, if I'm correct, if you amend this motion to only specify unexcused absences, then the prior existing motion would still apply to those. Is that right, Bob?
Well, if I understand what Mary's asking, it would actually, she's proposing to amend the October 2004 motion,
right.
not the current
that's,
governance. So
that's what I thought. And
yeah.
If so, then it requires notice and two-thirds.
Okay, so
you
I
mean
don't...
notice or two-thirds.
Yeah.
Excuse me, notice or two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So do you want to do that now, or do you want to just notice an intent to amend it at a future meeting?
Okay,
or do you want
sure.
to ask the governance committee to take it up?
I'll make a notice to amend at the next P&B meeting.
Okay. Any further discussion on this motion?
This is Teresa.
Yes.
This is Teresa.
Go ahead.
I'm somewhat confused here. What we passed in October of 2004 is still in effect, and this is an additional condition to it. Is that what you're saying, Bob?
Yes, essentially. This is kind of an added step before the policy is implemented in an individual case.
In other words, a person would be suspended after three absences, but after two absences, they're given a notice. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. At what point do we discuss the fact that quorum might be affected, or there's nothing on the October 2004 that you want to do that changes what the quorum is of the committee?
Well, that's a question of interpretation. It would seem, this is just my opinion, the committee is actually... discuss the question you're asking, but I'll give you my personal opinion. It would seem like if someone has been removed and the LSB or PNB, depending on you know which member was removed, has not yet elected a replacement, that would temporarily reduce the quorum, or it could. In other words, that the number of committee members would be lower from which a quorum would be calculated.
All right, but that is actually an interpretation of the October 2004 motion.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further? Okay, hearing no further debate, is there any objection to adopting the resolution as amended?
Oh, one more point of information. Oh, sorry. One more point of information.
Go ahead.
Who does the notifying?
Bob?
The chair of the committee.
The chair is responsible. Does it say that?
Yeah. The original motion, October 2004, says the chair of the committee shall notify the chair of the PNB and the respective LSB of any pending.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to adopting the resolution as amended? Hearing none, that's adopted. And now we are at the next item of our agenda, which is the ED report.
Greg, David, how do I mute?
Pound Does anybody remember
Pound One?
Pound One
to unmute.
Same thing.
Thank you.
Hello, is anybody there?
Yeah. You ready?
No.
Go ahead, Greg. Okay. I'll be brief. I have like three or four points just to cover for you. First of all, since there has been, you know, requests made at various meetings about updates on the various national programming, I wanted to give you an update on those. And this is mainly very good news. And the three programs that I'm talking are Informativo Pacifica, the Spanish language news program, Informed Dissent, our election series, and From the Vault, our archive series. What I can report to you as a progress report, and I've been discussing this with the program directors and general managers in recent days, is that right now we have two stations that are carrying all three programs, and I'll go through a few more details on this. One station that's carrying two of three and will be carrying Informativo, that's WBAI, starting at the beginning of this month. And then two stations, KPFA and WPFW, are only carrying one of the three. That is to say, they're carrying the Informed Dissent, but not at this point Informativo or From the Vault. Although I should also add that that WPFW, Ron Pinchback, just told me today that they will be working Informativo into their schedule prior to Thanksgiving. And so the summary of that would be basically that Informed Dissent is basically playing on every station, different times of the day and different times of the week on different stations. But on some level or another, it's on the air on all five of the sister stations. Informativo is on the air currently on two of the stations, but will be on the air on four of the stations within a matter of weeks. In 2 weeks on WBAI and in about 4 weeks on WPFW. And KPFA is still has not really decided how it or whether it fits into their schedule. And From the Vault is playing on, three of the stations, and it's not on the air on at KPFA at this point, at least not in a regular slot, and not on the air on WPFW. So we are making some progress on getting these all three of these programs distributed to our sister stations. I can't tell you in terms of how many affiliates are carrying each one. That's pretty hard to track at this point, but at some future point, I hope to be able to give you a little more specifics on that. Informed Dissent, the most recent show, was Stolen Elections. That was released on the 13th. We also are planning for election night. Some of you may already know an election night show. Brian Edwards Tiekert is the executive producer. This will be a collaborative effort across the country. Live coverage from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time of the 2006 elections. We'll have returns every half hour, a remote from a election night party in D.C., and reporters, correspondents filing from various battleground districts across the country. And I'd like to, you know, praise Brian for really taking the lead in making this happen and bringing people from the various stations into it. Some have also asked me about what kind of progress we're making on publicizing and programming relating to the habeas corpus bill, the Military Commissions Act, that was signed by President Bush this Tuesday. Two programs have been developed. I actually emailed some of you about this earlier today, but we are not yet doing enough, and I am trying to urge people at the stations to think more seriously and long-term about this. But Verna Avery Brown did produce a program this week, and on WBAI in New York, one of our regular programs is produced in conjunction with the Center for Constitutional Rights, Law and Disorder, also did a segment on it this week. I wish Lonnie was on the phone to discuss on-air drives, but let me just briefly mention that that the drive at KPFA just ended yesterday after 16 and a half days. They were a little short of goal, but they do have alternative plans to, for instance, migrate fundraising to the web and to do a bit of telemarketing to make up for the shortfall. We're at the end of day 10 at KPFK, and it's going very, very well, and the other stations are trying to figure out what they're doing that's working so well. And WBAI is in the middle of their drive and having some problems, but we're still hopeful. We may have an overall shortfall as a result, but we're going to wait a week and see what happens. Pacifica Radio Archives is planning fundraising days at the end of November. Four of the five stations have already agreed to participate in 32 hours of national programming around the archives programming. That will be on November 28th and 29th. And we're still working out some technical problems that have come up at KPFA in regard to how and whether to do that. There will be some preemptions in that within those 32 hours for local news and certain programs that really must air. And finally, just to let you know that the managers met today. We had a very productive meeting. We're discussing how to learn from each other about what works in terms of on-air fundraising, and we hope to have a joint session with Democracy Now! In the middle of November to talk about that long-term relationship and how it's worked and how it can work better. And prior to that, we will also have a meeting to begin to bring on the new Pacifica website, which people have been waiting for quite some time. Pete Caracas is about ready to start previewing that, and that will begin in about 2 weeks with the staff getting a tutorial on how they can use it. And I've seen a preview, and it looks pretty good. I think you'll be impressed when you finally see it. That's my report for now.
Okay, discussion? Question?
David?
This is Lydia. Can you hear
David?
Me, or am I muted?
I heard Rip, I heard Lydia, and I heard, was that Rob?
Alan.
That was Alan? Okay.
Yes.
I'll go with folks, and Lisa, I'll go with folks who I have who haven't spoken much yet. So start with Rip, then Alan, Lisa, and Lydia.
And Nathan Moore at the end, please.
Okay, Nathan. Go ahead, Rip.
Yeah.
Do that, how much time do we have, Deb?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're up to
10 minutes.
I've got 7.
Okay. Go ahead, Rip.
Sure. I just wanted to applaud Greg for the great work he did in really writing that resolution for us. I think this issue is really very important, and I hear the urgency in his report right now about steps that he's taken to really push this forward. And, you know, even a month later, it reads really well. And I just want to point out that he was immediately interested in this. I mean, I remember Dave brought it up, and then we heard from Dan. The board was all interested in this message going out, and Greg really helped us with that. And that's the kind of leadership that Pacifica needs. And so I just want to congratulate Greg, because what I see is that this is still going on. It's something that the board wanted to happen, and that he's doing a real good job of taking it forward for us.
I appreciate that, but I wouldn't give myself that much praise, because I think it's not going fast enough. Thank you anyway. But
Alan.
A quick question and then two comments. Greg, KPFA, you said how many days did it go?
Let me see. A 16. Went 16 and a half.
And what was the goal that they fell just short of?
They were trying to get to the mid-9s. I don't remember if it's 940 or 960. That's where they wanted. And they got to 8. So they have about 100 to 150 to go, and they want to make that up through online and telemarketing. And
I do want to say, as a staff person, and of course we've been very successful at KPFK pursuing this in a very staff-organized sort of collective project of leading this fund drive. We're certainly available, myself, Christine Blasdale, the two senior producers, I'm sure Armando as well, to give any guidance to any other stations. We're always available for that.
Well,
I
bet you they would like it. I'd talk to Lem real soon because they're, you know, be starting on that right away next week.
Oh, I'll look forward to the call. Let me make two corrections. I do think relative to that, our fund drive is going quite successfully. And
that's
again,
I mean.
I very much applaud the staff. But we are going to go over 1 or 2 days. I'm sure we would make the goal, especially with the web totals matched in, if we went over only 1 day, which would be 14 days and still about $1 million. So that's clearly very good numbers. But because of budgetary concerns with an expanded budget for next year, we're looking at going to possibly a second day over. Still, that would be probably about 1.1 or 1.08 million in 15 days. So we're very available to give advice and help to anybody in any way anybody wants it. But I do want to also clarify, from the vault, we have been playing it, but it isn't actually on our programming grid. It is when it's played, it takes up one of our three rotating open slots. So it's not yet.
Pardon, I said it. I meant to say it has no assigned place in the schedule. That's what I had heard. My apologies.
Sure, just want to make that point. And thank you again for the report and your work.
Lisa?
Okay, I have a couple of questions about the program on informed dissent. And I just want to know, Greg, if the Pacific has been receiving feedback, like what kind of feedback it's been receiving from the program.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm just concerned in terms of, I would like to know, I should say, in terms of like the decision-making process, like who has, you know, participated in that and how we ensure that diversity plays a big role in that.
Sure.
So, I wanted to know if you could answer a couple of questions.
The first is about any feedback and then how we ensure diversity. Right.
Right, and then if you're able to provide any kind of like breakdowns in terms of, the diversity, nationality, gender, you know, with people that are working on it, and then also in terms of the topics that you deal with.
Yeah, okay. On the question of feedback, it is sort of not organized. I mean, in New York, for example, I had heard a couple of weeks back that it was, it was on the schedule and that they were able to raise, a respectable amount of money through some pitching and that the general response was positive. And I have heard from Houston and also from Berkeley that people think the show is good. This is more from the staff and then, people picking up segments from the show and then, in a sense, recycling them through the news department in some cases. And so we're getting, we're getting interest as going along from the public in general and in terms of how many people are listening. That's not information that I have at this point, so I couldn't really speak to that as to, what kind of an audience it's building. It's not the kind of information that's really easy to get. As far as how we ensure, participation and diversity, one of the main mechanisms is this program has a very open production process, which every week there's an open call and people are invited to submit segments. I mean, I've monitored the show. I've listened to almost all the episodes. And what I can say in terms of gender diversity is that I do hear quite a few women's voices. I can't really say whether it's 50-50, but it's certainly significant. A lot of women producers and correspondents. In terms of racial and ethnic diversity, I don't know, and I'm not sure how you actually would confirm that based on questions of personnel policies, actually, because you're doing this across
the
country.
Pardon me, point of information.
By phone.
Excuse me, you're out of order.
That is so rude.
I'm asking. And excuse me, and all discussion about it is also out of order. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, point of personal privilege. My point is, I'd like the person that's exercising to mute. That's what I'd like to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
one,
not a point of information. That's a point of personal
I'm
privilege.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But
the
short answer is I cannot tell you much about the racial and ethnic diversity. That's not the kind of information that we have or that is really easy or in some cases legal to obtain and very difficult to obtain in this kind of a production. I think after the fact we'll be able to find out more, but during the process it's kind of hard. I think it's a fair question, but it's a delicate question.
Lydia.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, my question was about habeas corpus, but I don't think that it's that other issue was raised, that it's illegal to have diverse voices on the...
It's not a question of illegal. It's questionable to ask the questions to people when they're submitting proposals as to what race or ethnicity you are. So it's very hard for us to know from a voice on the telephone or to inquire.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's another one of those things you could probably interact with KPFK, and I think we have it down to a science. But my question was about habeas corpus. Is the program that you referred to at WBAI, do we have a kind of mechanism where we can put out to all of the stations that this is available, and maybe we could do replays of that? Because
yes,
PCR,
I did that today.
Nobody's
as best
more
I could.
Formidable than them on the issue, and it would be great to just distribute it.
I was hoping that that people would pick up on that. I did distribute an email today, which made note of that show.
Oh,
I
great.
Sent it out to the GMs and the program directors, and suggested that they look at it and gave them the link to go.
Okay.
We don't have a formal mechanism. We have myself, my bully pulpit. That's basically it.
Okay.
And actually, I'd just
That's
like
great.
To answer that myself, because Greg had asked, I had asked him about this some time ago, and he had spoken to the difficulty of reaching everybody and getting them all together on this. So I asked his consent to just chat with a couple of people about it. And I spoke to Bernard White, and Bernard organized a meeting with the Center for Constitutional Rights to discuss how they might be able to do regular sort of updates on this issue that could be distributed. I don't know exactly where it is, but Bernard's been talking to them, and they were interested in doing stuff, things like one and two or five, a few minute weekly updates that could be aired and things like that. So I know at least that they're acting on it. I also know from that discussion that they had an interest in the program being carried at other stations, but other stations are always, there's always the issue of, can we fit it into what we're doing and what our schedule is. But they're definitely one of the people that we should be talking to. I think the ACLU also has put out some stuff, and we might be able to pursue some partnerships there if we had somebody who had the time to do this kind of work, because it has to be recognized that, everybody who's working is already working close to capacity, and so we may want to look at that. But in any case, were you finished?
David, 10:30.
Okay. Do people want to continue the discussion, report?
I have two questions for Greg.
And
Chair, I've got to leave.
By the way, Ambrose, the whole board wanted transmitted to you our concern for
I really appreciate that. Yeah. Okay,
thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Two people have said they wanted to speak further. Do you want to make a motion to extend time?
5 minutes.
Who's saying that?
Alan.
Alan's moving to extend time 5 minutes. Are you sure that's enough time?
I don't think it is.
You make
minutes.
It 7.
8 minutes.
I wanted to add.
Someone needs to mute.
No, there's. I don't know what.
Mr. Chair, someone needs to mute.
Yeah.
But everyone mute.
Anyone left?
I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm still here.
I'm here.
Teresa
here.
Here.
Okay, so we can hear again. So there's a motion to extend 10 minutes. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll extend 10 minutes. Alan, and then who else wanted to speak?
Alan.
I heard AC, I think.
Alan.
Patty.
AC.
Alan.
Patty.
AC, Alan, AC, and Patty.
And Bob.
Okay.
Nathan was on the stack a while back.
Oh, okay. So we'll start with Nathan, and then we have Alan, AC, Patty, and Bob. Go
and
ahead.
The point of information.
Okay, what's your point of information, Teresa?
I didn't quite get what he said about from the vault. It was being, he told us how many, it was being aired where, what?
Okay, is that, yeah, want me to repeat that?
Now, this is just a question. I'm sure everybody has questions, so we'll get to that. Nate, I'll put you on the stack, please. Go ahead, Nathan.
Sure. First thing, two comments. One is that I'm very glad to have Informed Ascent as an opportunity mm-hmm. for affiliates to do some good stuff.
I can't hear you.
I can't.
Yeah, you're moving
okay.
Slow, Nathan.
Sure, I'm actually doing this by Skype. Just say that I really appreciate having Informed Ascent as an option for affiliates to do some good production. It's a great opportunity for affiliates to be part of really a whole network-wide production, and I think some of the producers we've already heard on that show have been really good, and coming from, of course, the sister stations, but also the affiliates. And I think this is really a great example of how we can sort of further integrate the producers between both affiliates and sisters. So kudos on that program and the way it's been set up in sort of a more open grassroots way. Second thing, on the archives fundraising, Pacifica Archives, I don't know if there's interest or not, but would it be possible to open up fundraising on November 28th and 29th to affiliate stations if they're interested in doing that?
Well, the
and
problem is that we're not allowed. I think my understanding is that we cannot pitch on the station, other stations' air for
mm-hmm.
for Pacifica. I mean, I think that's
right.
part of the problem. We would love to come into your station to raise money. I don't think it's legal.
Oh, okay, it comes under non-commercialism.
I appreciate the offer, and I'll inquire again. But I've been told in the past that that's a real problem.
This is Teresa.
But
I would
Rick
like
Robinson.
To. Mr. Chair, I would
yes.
like to say, as a member of the Archives Committee, that Brian has made himself available to help other affiliate stations do pledge drives or pitch for those stations.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I understand. But what Greg is raising is the fact that our license doesn't allow our air to fundraise for other organizations, and that probably applies to other radio stations as well.
Mm-hmm.
Were you done, Nathan? Alan?
Yes, I'm done.
Yeah, oh, wait, but Alan, before we go, does everybody on the board understand what Nathan was referring to in terms of the process by which Informed Dissent is produced? Is everybody
mm-hmm.
familiar with what he's referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, actually, first I want to clarify the idea that we at KPSK asked to find out the race or ethnicity of
I didn't say
people
that,
who suggest that is absurd, Lydia. So we don't have that down to a science, and we certainly don't pursue that unless the people choose to do so themselves. So I don't think we could provide any guidance in that respect, Greg. Greg, do you have anything? I don't know if this is inappropriate to ask, but I didn't hear in your report, and where I am is very loud. Anything about personnel matters at WBAI, and I was wondering if you wanted to say anything about that.
Oh, sure, I'd be happy to. I wanted to focus on programming, but as those on the PMB know, and I believe people in New York know, that we reached an agreement with Robert Scott Adams, who visited the station about 1 week ago, and have made an offer to him, which he's accepted. To come on as interim general manager. His first day of work will be, November the 6th, which is about 2 weeks from now. And then there'll be a kind of a transition period while he moves to New York. He met with quite a few members of the staff when he was there. Lonnie was also in New York at that time, and so was able to orient him a little bit on finances. And we're all very hopeful, and I've talked with a couple of people. I've talked with Bernard White after Adam's visit, and he was very hopeful himself, and I got actually a further message from Bernard today with some, you know, the good news about Informativo. And I think that there's a sense that this might may help, and that's about all. I'm happy that it's resolved, and I'm very hopeful that the next year is going to be a positive and upbeat move for the station. Thanks for
AC.
Asking.
Thanks.
AC?
Yes. My question is,
I don't think they're, based on my experience in the civil rights movement, that it is incorrect to issue a statement qualifying your basis for asking about the ethnicity of a person. If you state the reason why, but rather than to hear my comments, I would urge, and I would certainly help someone, that you consult with the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, as well as the Legal Defense Fund and Center for Constitutional Rights, because I think it's very important that if we're going to project diversity and going to be inclusive with all voices, that we should have a way of measuring this question rather than looking at it after the fact. This is an election that involves the whole country and involves all sorts of large numbers, let's say, of people of color and others who should be participating in this, in this debate and this discussion and this analysis that's going on around the elections. This is not to take away anything from how wonderful other people may be, which I'm sure there are, but it does say that we need to take some initiative to find out what the rules are and find out. It's not my understanding that there's a problem with inquiring.
I'd be happy to pursue that. I had not been asked it before, and I'd be happy to pursue it, and I did not mean to say I was not interested in finding out. I simply had not been asked the question. I would just sort of wonder whether anything's been brought to anyone's attention that this is actually a problem that we need to attend to. I mean, I'm happy to do it in any case, but
Greg, this is a big issue, and there's been lots of folks' attention. Perhaps that we can have some discussion about it via email, and then take it up at our next meeting if it requires further.
And I'll look into it. I'll look into the points that AC has raised in the meantime. Be happy to.
Great. And any guidance you can provide them with AC during the interim would be very helpful. The next is Patty.
Hi.
yeah, I hear you, sir.
Greg, you mentioned that you thought the habeas corpus thing not enough had been done. Did you send this announcement out to all the stations?
Well, yeah, the motion was sent out the day after the PMB meeting. But, I mean, to be perfectly frank, three of the stations are in fund drive. And when you're in fund drive, it's really hard to think about new special programming unless you can relate it to an existing premium. And so I really don't want to be, too critical about that. And also, there was a delay in the signing of this bill, and so in a way you're kind of in limbo, not knowing when it's really going to become law. It was only signed 2 days ago or 3 days ago. So I think it would be helpful if people started to have discussions in their own stations about what programmatically can be done. But I don't want to be too critical about this. I don't feel that I did enough quickly enough. It's more of a criticism of myself than of the stations.
Bob.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Were you done, Patty?
No, but never mind.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, never mind.
Bob?
Hello.
May I go ahead?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 2 points. On the question of diversity, I would just remind the board and Greg about the Pacifica Race and Nationality Policy adopted in 2002 and reaffirmed in the following 2 years that includes the foundation commits to the energetic practice of affirmative action in staff search, recruitment, hiring, promotion, and so on, and talks about actively seeking out individuals from disenfranchised groups who are committed to Pacifica's mission. And there's other language in there that's important, too. To look at and also to keep in mind in terms of any.
This is Josie. Call me at 111.
In terms of questions about legality, the CPB actually rewards radio stations, including Pacifica stations, for having, I believe the figure is 35% people of color on their paid staff. So clearly it's legal and there are mechanisms that we're already using to ascertain the race and nationality of staff, and those just need to be implemented. And I do think we should have a discussion at a future meeting about the whole implementation of the race and nationality policy. The second thing I want to just pass along a motion that was passed by our LSB. This is on the question of the newly appointed interim general manager at WBAI. And I won't read the whole motion, but it will be forwarded soon to the PNB. The action clause is that the LSB urges the executive director and Pacifica National Board to refrain from signing any contract which would invalidate the work of the committee, and that's referring to the search committee that has that is actively searching for a permanent general manager with a hopeful end date of December 2006. So just back to the action statement, would refrain from signing any contract which would invalidate the committee's work by creating a prohibitively long waiting period between the date of recommendation and the starting date of the permanent general manager. So that's just my concern as far as allowing that committee to do the work that it's been asked to do to offer candidates to the executive director for the permanent position, such that they're not kept waiting for months and months and months before they can actually assume the job once they would be appointed. So that's it.
Teresa.
Gee, it's been so long I've forgotten. I wanted to...
Excuse me, Dave. I would be much safer not to respond to what Bob just said, but I would also be rightly accused of not being completely forthright if I did not tell you that I have already signed a hire letter with Robert Scott Adams.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, the board did pass a motion authorizing that to go forward.